I think 15 minutes is not enough time to kind of do the whole thing justice. And more than that, I think maybe it's not why I'm a Buddhist, but maybe how I became a Buddhist, which is a better question. I think that I don't think that there was actually a point that I became a Buddhist. I think that there were certain conditions that came together that kind of allowed me to see that I was a Buddhist. And I think for most of my life I was pretty much traveling on two roads that are parallel but separate in a certain kind of way. Well, firstly, the main condition that caused me to actually gravitate towards Buddhism is that I was born. So I was born in Jamaica, and I lived in Kingston with my mother until I was 10 years old, and then I moved to Seattle to live with my father, with my younger sister and brother. I guess things went okay. At that point I was, you know, living by the kind of rules and standards that my parents laid down, and they were a religious family, and my mother was a Seventh-day Adventist, and we had to go to church every Sabbath day, and we had our little rituals that we had to perform, like, we couldn't go out on Saturday, or we couldn't watch television, and we had to go to church every Saturday. And that was all right until I became a teenager, and then I just wanted to be like every other kid that wanted to go and do stuff on the weekends or whatever, and just have a level of freedom. Well, at that point, I don't think I had started my journey in any kind of way, but I think when I started to rebel, that's when I kind of entered the kind of a new phase of my life, when I kind of started to question the real reasons why I was doing all these, you know, all these rituals and believing in this God that I never saw, or I could never quite, you know, understand why my life was like this, and I pray all the time, and you know, there's a whole lot of questioning. So I guess the more strict your parents are, the more you tend to rebel, or you tend to want to tear away. So at the first opportunity, I just started to go to parties and clubs and whatever, and I started to experiment with alcohol and cannabis, and I got my first mystical experience, and with cannabis, and in a certain respect, I think that kind of experience of, you know, smoking cannabis was like the real kind of opening the door to something different, to say like, well, you know, there is an experience that you have in your everyday life, but there is also another experience that you can't really explain. And I think from that moment on, I think it just kind of got me to kind of explore different things. And that's when my parallel path began. Because on one hand, I was trying to get to the root of what was going on a more maybe magical level. And in another sense, on another path, I was kind of rebelling and trying to, you know, be my own person and trying to, you know, have as much fun and be as exciting and you know, live in an exciting world as possible. And both worlds never met, you know, because sometimes I would be at a party drinking, drunk and loud and everything, and my friends that I associate with would never know that, well, I'm going home and the next day I'll probably go to the library, sitting quietly, reading some book by Khalil Gibran about, you know, mystical love or something like that. And to a certain extent, I was pretty much ashamed of it. Well, I think in my parallel lives, I was pretty extreme. I went to extremes. By the time I was 13, I had joined the gang, and by the time I was 14, oh well, I spent my 15th birthday in juvenile facilities in King County, and that really kind of tore me apart from my family, and I think we haven't been the same ever since then. And I particularly had a bad time with my father, so that was just the kind of outward manifestation of the two kind of roads that I was traveling at the time. So I spent most of my teenage years moving from, you know, from kind of like foster homes to extended family members, but I really didn't live at home, and I tried my best to have as much of an exciting time as I could. I love drinking, and I love smoking cannabis, and I love going out, and I love all the exciting things about life. But at the same time, I fancied myself as a revolutionary, and I kind of was gravitated toward reading books like, you know, like about Napoleon and Machiavelli and all that. But at the same time, I would never let the two parts of my life meet, you know, because it just, you know, I mean, that inner quest was something that gave me strength, but I was slightly embarrassed to kind of let people know that, you know, this is what was going on in my inner world. So that went on for a while, and I did all the, well, usual, well, not really usual, but, you know, as to be expected. I didn't finish high school. It took a very long time for me to finish high school, and I graduated when I was 19, and I decided that my father kind of pressured me to go into community college to just, you know, make something of my life. And so, but I went there, and I just thought, this is just not for me. I just thought I wanted to explore, I wanted to adventure. And a couple years down the road, I decided that, you know, I was talking to one of my relatives, and they're saying, oh, you know, you got an uncle in Wolverhampton, and, you know, England's such a wonderful place. And, you know, it's... Anyhow, so I got on the phone to him, and I was talking, I said, oh, I need to come visit you, you know, I haven't seen you in such a long time, and whatever. So we arranged, and that was 10 years ago, by the way. I went to Wolverhampton, and it was nice. It was nice. It was okay, you know. I wouldn't knock Wolverhampton, I mean. But then, you know, I just thought, you know, London, people that I met were like, oh, so have you traveled around England? I said, no. And they start telling me about London is such a great place. And I said, oh, why not? I mean, you know, you only live once. So I came to London, and I fell in love with London, and I decided, well, you know, I might stick around for a while and see what happens. So I moved to East London, which is a place called Leytonstone. It's very, very close to Bethnal Green. It's only a few stops away from the Central Line. And in London, I kind of gravitated towards my old lifestyle. I was back drinking, back doing all kinds of things, but at the same time, I always had this urge to kind of explore things, and One day, me and my friend were having a drunken argument in the pub because I hadn't seen him for like a couple of years, and we decided to catch up at the pub, and we, you know, we were talking, because he's like a born-again Christian, he's like an Adventist and all that, you know, and knew him since I was very, very young, and he was telling me, you know, your life's a mess, you know, you need Jesus to help you to clear up all the trouble in your life. And I'm like, I was so angry, you know, and I was trying to tell him all the stuff that I've read and how wrong Christianity was, and I mean, because I was like out of touch with it, you know, I was like, I couldn't really explain myself, and I was angry that I couldn't explain myself, and I was, you know, and in a certain respect, I think a part of my inner journey had died for a little while, and then that argument at the pub kind of, you know, like reawakened it. So I was so angry that I went home and I decided that I was going to do something about it. The next day, got on my computer, I was starting to look for Buddhism in London, you know, and I got all these addresses, and I got the address of the London Buddhist Center, and I wrote the address down, and I put it on my table, and I said, oh yes, I'm going to go, and I left it for a while, and it was there, and, you know, it went on, and I did love my drink, you know, I just, a couple of weeks went by, and I go out for the weekend, have these binges and come home, get on my computer, and this paper was there on my table, and I don't know what made me do it, but I just finally made up my mind, and I got this, the address, and I put it in my pocket, and I think the meditation was 6 or 6:15 or something like that, and I decided I'm going to go early, I'm going to walk in there, and if there's a bunch of lunatics, I'm going to walk right out. So the first time I went there, I just sat by myself and I was just looking at the paintings on the wall and all that. And I think the first person that taught me meditation was a lady called Vishvantra, and it was a good experience because, you know, it was like, you know, entering a different world. It was like, you know, smoking a spliff without smoking a spliff, you know. No, it's a bit trivial, but so I decided to come along, you know. I decided that the people were all right, so I just decided to come every Wednesday and, you know, try to see where it might lead. But at the same time, I was a doorman. I was working at clubs as a bouncer. I know I don't look it, but it's true. Yeah, and I was, in a certain respect, that became my new inner life. Meditation was the continuation of my old journey, and being a doorman was a continuation of my wanted to be with the excitement, with the danger, you know, with all that type of lifestyle. And I was just embroiled in that lifestyle, and I tried to keep both my journey separate. I tried to keep meditation separate from my other life, that, you know, that people knew me as, you know, guy that, you know, is just so self-contained and so controlled, and, you know, it's just, and on the other side, that I was, had a spiritual journey, and I was trying to see something more than my ordinary life. I became friends with Maitra Bandhu, which was an eventful meeting, and an eventful, you know, because that friendship kind of helped me to bring the two paths together in a certain kind of way. And I remember the first time he suggested that I should go on a urban retreat. this urban retreat. And I used to live with my girlfriend, and I used to jump out of bed and get on the train and go down to the London Buddhist Center early in the morning, and I'd come back, and she's like, where have you been, you know? Like, well, you know, like, she got really curious, and then she was so curious and so suspicious of what I was doing that she insisted that she come down to the London Buddhist Center with me to find out exactly what was going on. So that was the beginning of my two journeys kind of meeting. So now my personal life kind of met with my particular journey. And then as time went on, I kept going to the Wednesday class, and then Maitre Bandhu once again suggested that I join the Wednesday team. So, and I think that was very beneficial to me, because, you know, I had a reason to keep going. You know, I've made a commitment to be on the Wednesday team, so that's what I did. And on Wednesdays, it was like a day that, you know, was like the holy day for me. You know, like, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I kind of wanted to have a clear mind so I can sit in meditation, because it was very important to me. It's very important to me that I made a promise to Maitre Bandhu to be on the team and to support the team, and I felt that was very important. So as time went by, that space where I didn't do anything kind of grew and grew and grew till weeks ago by, and I didn't feel the need to go out drinking a lot, but I was still a doorman, so I had to kind of be in that world. And in a lot of ways, I think meditation and Buddhism slightly ruined my life. because I had it all sorted out, you know. I was living with my girlfriend, I was being a doorman, I was, you know, having fun on the weekends and occasionally reading a few spiritual books. I had it all sorted out, you know what I mean? But the more I meditated, the more I saw that I couldn't what I was doing was not very, I wasn't happy doing it. It was putting me in all kinds of states of mind that were not, you know, were not in accordance with reality, or not in accordance with what I really want. So then, because I stopped doing drinking a lot or whatever, people that I associated with a lot, I just didn't spend any time with them. And I don't know, being involved in trying to change my life, I kind of got rid of my girlfriend, and because I felt at the time it was a good decision to make, because it was kind of helping me to kind of stay where I was, and I needed to change in some way. But I was still addicted to the nightlife and the, you know, all the stuff that went with it, until last year it kind of came to a climax. And basically, I got into a real serious fight while I was at work. And what happened was, somebody was hurt during that fight, and I was arrested. I was arrested, and my license to work was taken away from me. And I thought, that's it, my life is ruined. I didn't have that excitement was, you know, like what I was living for was, you know, taken away from me, and I was like, I couldn't face it. I was thinking about doing something else. And I remember I went to Maitre Bandhu and I said, Maitre Bandhu, my license is gone. I don't know what to do. Could you please write me a letter and to the licensing body and explain to them that I'm a good man, and I've been volunteering on the team and doing a lot of good for the community and everything. And Maitre Bandhu says, I'll write you the letter this one time, but you have to think about what you're doing and where you want to go with this. And he did write me the letter, and I did get my license back. And that period, that gap, when I wasn't being a doorman, and I just had time to reflect on it, and I think that was the moment that my inner journey met my external journey, because I just realized that I couldn't continue to meditate and try to change my inner state without having to actually change what's going on outside for me. And that was a kind of critical moment in my spiritual development kind of thing. But at the same time, I don't think I could I could carry on without the support of my friends and in the community. And well, I skipped a part, but then Macho Banda once again kindly suggested that I move into the community. And at first I wasn't really, I said, nah, I can't do it. Can't do it. That would affect my drinking. That would be a body blow, you know? But it took me a while, and then when I finally did it, it was like one of the best experiences that I actually did, because then I was face to face with myself and face to face with my journey, and you know, it's kind of growing into being a whole person rather than a person of two paths. So the reason why I'm a Buddhist, well, I'm a Buddhist because it's dangerous, because you have to practice it, and when you practice it, you have to change, and when you change, the whole world changes as well, and you cannot practice without having some kind of something happening. Your world will change. It's inevitable, and it's not comfortable, and it's not easy. And when I think about Buddhism, I always have the picture or the image of Bodhidharma carrying the Dharma across the Himalayas to China. It's like heroism. It's like toughness on a different level. It's almost superhuman, kind of. It's nothing, I don't find anything soft about it. Another reason why I'm a Buddhist is that spiritual friendship. Without that spiritual friendship, it's impossible to grow, and it's impossible to change. And there is no Dharma for me without that. That's it.